Today, our series on girls and juvenile justice continues with a look at the numbers. Arrests and detentions of young women for serious crimes have soared in the last 20 years. Girls are still far less likely than boys to get picked up for things like robbery and assault. But the gap is narrowing, and that's led to a perception that girls have somehow become more violent. Experts on juvenile crime say the true picture is far more complex. NPR's John Hamilton reports.
About 3 months ago, senior girls from a suburban Chicago high school attacked a group of junior girls during a hazing incident. Someone had a video camera. The images appeared on news programs everywhere. The video shows older girls from Glenbrook North High School dumping buckets of what newspaper accounts said was paint, food, and feces on younger girls. In some cases, the older girls also punched and kicked them. When it was over, one girl had a broken foot, another needed stitches in her scalp. The incident caused an uproar. Newspaper editorials railed against the girls. The police got involved. Oprah did a show.
There was so much concern about it that you really thought that the world had come to a screeching halt.
Mita Chesney-Lind is a nationally known criminologist at the University of Hawaii. She's written several books about girls who commit crimes. Chesney-Lind thinks the videotape got so much attention because it seems to confirm the perception that girls are out of control and violent. Chesney-Lind says that perception goes back to the 1990s. At the time, some experts were predicting an explosive increase in violent young criminals.
We started actually with a concern about boys' violence. So we had the super predator boy that was going to scare us all to death at the beginning of the decade. Well, he disappeared sort of mid-decade. But his female counterpart never went away. She started as a scary gang girl, and we had a whole series of talk shows and newscasts about girls seeking violent equality with boys in the gangs and the girl gangsta.
Several best-selling books about female aggression added to public concern. And government statistics show violent girls are a growing problem. During the 1990s, the rate at which girls were charged with assault rose by more than 70%, even as the rate for boys began to fall. Chesney-Lind took a hard look at those statistics and saw things that didn't make sense.
The first thing I noticed was, it's all happening in assaults. It's all happening there and not in lethal violence. Why, occasionally isn't someone getting dead as a result of all this mayhem caused by girls going crazy on us?
The number of girls who actually kill someone each year hasn't changed much in decades. And there's been only a small increase in girls who commit an assault that involves a weapon or causes a serious injury. Jeffrey Butts of the Urban Institute says these facts challenge the idea that a change in girls' behavior is the major reason for a rise in arrests and detentions.
Behavior changes contribute somewhat to it, but very slightly. The largest reason for the change is that the juvenile justice system itself is becoming less paternalistic.
Meaning what?
Meaning that police officers, prosecutors, judges are less likely to treat someone differently because she's female than they may have 20 to 30 years ago.
Which could explain why more girls are showing up in juvenile courts and being sent to detention centers. In the Glenbrook North incident, a dozen girls have been charged with assault. Butts says another reason more girls are in trouble with the law is that the justice system has changed its response to violence that occurs at home.
We are more likely to charge family disputes that turn violent as crimes. And again, I think this is a good thing. 30 years ago, if someone was attacking a family member and the police showed up, they were far more likely to believe they could counsel the family. They didn't want to get involved. They didn't want to invade someone's privacy, and they'd walk away. That is much less true now, and a lot of states have compulsory arrest laws where a police officer is not allowed to walk away, and they must file papers, and they must charge.
That affects girls because their violent conflicts often involve a family member. Mita Chesney-Lind says researchers are finding evidence that many of the girls getting locked up these days don't fit the classic profile of a violent criminal.
One girl was in detention on assault in California for having thrown a plate of cookies at her mother. Another study in Ohio found a girl had thrown a Barbie doll at her mother and was in on assault.
Chesney-Lind says school is another place where girls often get in fights and where disputes used to be resolved without the police. Now, many schools have zero tolerance policies, so every fight is an assault and taking a kid's lunch money is robbery. Chesney-Lind says such policies are not only putting more girls behind bars, but changing the kind of girl who gets locked up.
Back in the 50s, again, when I went into the detention centers and looked at who was there, it was a lot of white runaways. Now what we have are a lot of African-American and Hispanic girls. So that's the difference that we've seen, I'd say, over the past decade.
Chesney Lind says middle-class white girls, like the ones from Glenbrook North High School, are more likely to have parents who hire lawyers and less likely to serve time for their actions. Several studies suggest that minority girls receive harsher treatment from both police and judges. Candace Odgers is a researcher at the University of Virginia. She's studying girls in that state who are in detention. There are only about 100 of these girls, compared with more than 1,000 boys. And Odgers says many of the girls appear to have been sent there as much for their own protection as for any crime they committed.
We had asked a young woman, how about her relationship with her mother? And she said, oh, it's fine. And so I said, well, you know, do you fight with your mom? Do you have arguments? She said, yeah, we fight about some things, but, you know, usual stuff. And I said, well, can you just give me an example of what type of stuff? And she said, well, we fight about who's going to go over and turn the tricks for drugs. So they're both prostituting. She's fighting with her mother about, you know, who's going to go out in the street to do the trick that night so they can get the money to buy the drugs. So this isn't your typical parent-child argument.
Odgers says girls who become violent tend to come from environments where physical aggression is the norm.
These girls also have boyfriends who are antisocial, who are highly violent and aggressive. They often are involved in peer groups, are involved in antisocial behavior, so it's very accepted. It's accepted for girls to engage in violence, and in many cases, it's encouraged.
Most girls don't get that kind of encouragement, but when they do, experts say they are more likely to act like boys. The girls from Glenbrook North didn't act on their own. The videotape shows them surrounded by boys shouting encouragement. Mita Chesney Lind says that episode made many parents confront something they didn't want to believe.
That was what was so kind of disconcerting about the Glenbrook thing is, no, actually your daughters are, you know, capable of this behavior. And that is, you know, that's something that society typically doesn't acknowledge.
Chesney Lind says the nation's newfound concern about violent girls could have an upside: more money to prevent violence among girls and to develop programs for those who've already committed a violent crime. John Hamilton, NPR News.